welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
So, yeah, the road to Scarborough was blocked by mashed potato. And how does that relate to Jesus saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand"? Ah, well, the connection is carrots. No, it isn't. I'm teasing you. It's gravy, yeah. Or beetroot. Praise God. And I also want to tell you some stories from Italy. I'm not sure that's linked to mashed potato, but there may be a way of getting it in. You never know. Did you know that last night at the Stephen Joseph Theatre, we had an international performance from a lady called Stacey Kent, who's a jazz player. Apparently it was a really, really good night. She was performing at 7 o'clock at the Stephen Joseph Theatre. And she arrived at Heathrow from Switzerland. I think it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so... And in fact, she arrived at the Stephen Joseph. She didn't take the route of the mashed potato. They had to take an alternative route. She arrived with 45 minutes to go to set up the entire band, ready to go for this amazing performance. Hallelujah. But it all went off. I know this because Dan was there doing the lighting. But why am I mentioning that? Because it's linked in actually to the mashed potato story, and it's linked in to where I want to go to in the scripture today as well. All right, it's all got the same theme. Mashed potato, Stacey Kent, and Jesus. Wow. And Italy as well, actually. How many of you have gone on holiday and you've walked off the aeroplane and you hit that heat? And because you're on holiday, you think, awesome. If it's ever that holiday, if it's ever that heat when you're in this country, you're thinking, oh, it's too hot. But when you're on holiday, it's like, I'm here, I'm going swimming, I'm reading books, and I'm relaxing. Well, if you're like me and Kate, we're like that. We haven't had a holiday like that for a while, but we're going on one very, very soon. But when we've been sort of exhausted, and we're feeling a little bit exhausted at the moment, it must be said, but when we've been exhausted by ministry and everything that's happening, we love to go on holiday, and we are the most unsociable people on the planet when we do that kind of holiday. You know, we're not the super spiritual people on the aeroplane witnessing to Jesus. Sorry to disillusion you all, but I'm usually playing a game on my iPad or sleeping. You know, and then when we get there, it's like, ah, let's have a villa, because if we go into a hotel, we'll have to talk to people. Sorry, is this a bit honest? And so that's what we've got. We're off to we've got a villa somewhere, and it's in a really quiet place, so there's very few children. No, I love children. I could eat two or three at a time, but no. Obviously, you know I love kids. I've worked with them for ages, but you just want to get away, don't you? You don't want the screaming children, and there's no nightclubs and there's no bars because we're used to them. It's just nice tavernas with decent food, you know, and the odd glass of wine, and we just have a great time. And then where we're going, you can jump into the sea from the where we're staying and just swim, and so swim and read and relax, and I'm almost there. Oh, I'm preaching. But anyway, how many of you have stepped off the aeroplane and it's like, doof, that's the heat? Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Well, when I went to Italy, it was just like that. It was, you walked off the lovely air condition. I was like, oh, wow, that's warm. Apparently it was 40. And it was very, very high humidity. So it was like by the time you reached the bottom of the steps, you were like, oh, that's interesting. And it was so warm. Even the Italians were complaining about the heat. You know, saying, oh, it's too hot. Everybody was diving for air-conditioned cars or air-conditioned buildings. You didn't get that in Jesus' time, you may be interested to know. Air conditioning hadn't been invented. But Israel is pretty hot. Yeah, where we're going to start the story to do with Jesus today, which is linked to mashed potato, which is linked to Stacey Kent, which is linked to Italy. Where we're going to start with him, I want you to imagine that kind of heat on the road, you know, and everybody's sweaty. Everybody, you've got that delightful aroma de humain around you. Of people that have been out in the sun. He's probably pretty tired by the time we get to this story as well. It's not long after the feeding of the 5,000, and he's certainly been intensive ministry. So he's surrounded by people, absolutely surrounded by that aroma de humain. And so you can picture it there. It's dusty. There's dust in their hair. There's dust on their feet. And they're walking along. And we'll get there. But even as they're walking along, the guys that are with him, you know, they're kind of, the point of our story, they are missing it. You know, they want to call down fire and destroy a village. You know, this man of God, who is God, has been trying to bring a message of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is love. And his very closest disciples at this point are saying, they rejected us. Shall we call down fire from heaven and destroy them? So as well as the heat, as well as the dust, as well as the smell, there's kind of a, oh, flip. You know, are they ever going to get this message? And that is linked to mashed potato. I had a fantastic time in Italy. It was a series of meetings over Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Italians are wonderful. They do everything at night. The meetings at night, and we had some in the day as well, but they usually start at 9 o'clock. I mean, usually when we're thinking of sleep, you know, finishing, wrapping up, having a coffee, they are, let's start. I asked them, why do they start at that time? Is it because people work, you know, later into the evening? They said, no, it's just the way to do it. They did actually say, we're thinking of bringing it earlier. And they quite often, especially when they're having like special weekends like we were, they like to go out for a meal. And so Friday night I was in Bologna, and there was loads of healings happening. And so by the time the meeting finished, it was late. It was just after midnight. And then we're going for a meal. It was actually a really nice meal on an outside, because it was still, you know, 30. After midnight, it was so hot, and we're sitting outside, and we did have some lovely, you know, Italian food is gorgeous, isn't it? And it was a restaurant owned by someone in the church, and they were having a bit of a celebration. But it's like, I've never sat down to a meal at 12:30 before, I don't think, except possibly when I've been in Italy before. So you can imagine, by the time we were in bed, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and Saturday is the leadership training day, so, you know, cool. Not surprisingly, I only ever made breakfast on the first morning. I decided breakfast could be missed. Right. But so, yes, on the Friday night, they now have, you may or may not know, I was at a church that links closely into Kingdom Faith. There used to be a relatively small congregation based in Modena, and they had a few of them that met in Bologna. But now I was meeting with the guys that are based in Bologna, where they have their own pastor now, and they've got their own building, which is like in a warehouse unit on an industrial estate, and they've got a church of about 60 people now in Bologna, so that's exciting. And so that's where I was speaking, and I can't remember what I spoke on, actually, but you'd have known it. It would have been stuff that we've been going through together and faith, and oh, I know what it was. It was Bartimaeus, blind man by the side of the road. And, you know, pressing in. Oh, no, that was Monday night. See, I told you, I've forgotten. Anyway, people got healed. There was a huge, huge response. And I want one really nice one that night. A guy called, I think his name was Michael, but he probably said it in an Italian way. Funny that, because he was Italian. But he came forward, and he'd seen these people getting healed. And it was one of those times when, you know, when people are getting healed and saying, I'm healed, and everybody's hearing it. So there's a general excitement. The pain's gone, the whatever it is, lots of pain and stuff being dealt with. And he came to me, and he said, I want that anointing. I said, do you? He said, yes. So I said, well, stretch your hands out. So he stretched his hands out. No, both of them. You have to put your phone down. Other way up. And I said, here you go, then. There you go, you've got the anointing. Okay, and he sort of looked at me as if, you know, there needed to be something a bit more wacky and special and do-do-do-do-do-do. But I said, there, you've got it. Most of the healings were like that. It was kind of, someone would come up with a condition and maybe I'd take their hand like that and say, you're healed. On the Saturday particularly, people were waiting. It was well over 100 people, I should think, responded on the Saturday night. And more than that. And I was getting up to them, and they'd tell me what was wrong, and God would say to me, but they're healed. So I'd say to them, so is there any pain in your neck right now? I remember this one example. Is there any pain in your... It was her ear, actually. Is there any pain in your ear now? And she said, no. And your finger that was hurting, that's not hurting, is it? She said, no. I said, well, what about the knees that you just told me about? They're not actually hurting, are they? No, she said. But I need prayer for healing. I said to her, but you're healed. And then it dawned on her. She was waiting for the religious bit. Her faith had healed her because she'd come forward expecting God to do something. You know, and there was a lot of cases of that kind of thing. This they did and then. Do you remember that? I was speaking on that for sure while I was out. I spoke on the 70, which is probably why I remembered the word apostelos, although I didn't do too much Greek when I was in Italy. By the time everything's been translated, trying to do Greek as well, it's like... anyway, so there was that was one of the stories. This guy, Michael, he came forward, and then about 10 minutes later, he came forward with another lady who had severe pain in her back and her knees and all sorts of stuff going on. And he said, I said, why have you brought her forward? And he said, oh, because she needs healing. And I said, well, what did we just do? And he said, oh, you put your hands on mine. I said, well, was that what happened? Is that it? He said, no, you said I've got the anointing. I said, well, you have. So why have you brought the lady to me? So he said, okay, what do I do then? I said, well, ask the lady where the pain is, put your hands on there and tell her she's healed. So he did it. And she went, oh! Because she was healed. I mean, he was like a smile from ear to ear, you know? He couldn't believe it was that easy. But that was a message of a lot of the weekend, really, that faith is easy. You know, we've been afraid to tell people that your faith has healed you because we've made faith into a religion. That sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? We made faith so much. And all that Jesus said was, it's a mustard seed. It's a response. It's a, this can happen. You know, so the very fact that he did what had been said to do was the faith for her to be healed. In that case, she was probably healed by his faith. We mustn't be afraid of saying that you need faith, but we don't want to leave people in condemnation because they think, oh, I'll never have enough faith. Faith is so small that it's just a response. It can be as small as, yes, I'll come with you to church. That's faith. Because a doubt or unbelief would say, I'm not going, I'm watching telly, or I'm going down the beach. So faith is that easy. And we are determined to pursue that more and more and more and more so that people can grab hold of that, aren't we? Are you determined? Are you feeling determined?
Yeah.
Determined enough to overcome mashed potato? So those two were that was that woman was healed. Or there was another lady whose back was healed in Concordia. Do you want this story? This was a creative miracle. Isn't that good? You know, it was all linked into, I also spoke on the 70. Because the thing that has struck me recently, and I don't think I've particularly mentioned that when we've looked at the sending out of the 70 before, was that we don't know who they are. They're all unnamed. I mean, there's various speculation of other people that are mentioned later on, were they amongst the 70? But we don't actually know who that 70 were. They're all unnamed. And I think that's what God is doing right now. This is the time of the unnamed. Just the people like us, ordinary people, that just do what God says, and then miracles happen because they do what he says. You know, that's all faith is. It's just do it. Do it scared. Do it full of doubt. Do it wondering, but just do it. The faith is in the doing. Yeah? So, this lady came forward, because to the unnamed, I'm not an international speaker. Well, I was, I suppose, because I was in Italy, but you know what I mean? You know, I'm not Reinhard Bonnke or Benny Hinn or one of the great names. I'm just one of the unnamed, like you, that just does what God says. And believe you me, when you go all the way over to Italy and you see the expectation in 200 or 300 people of what God's going to do because you've come, it's quite daunting, actually. You know it's got to be God because you don't feel the man of hour for the power. No, man of power for the hour. That's the right way around. At all. And I find these days when I'm ministering, God tells me a lot about what's happening in people. You're feeling heat here or coolness or the oil's coming over you. But me, myself, I feel as dry as smashed potato. You know, totally dry. No feelings of great faith or anything. Just saying stuff. Knowing that this they did and then. I just say what I believe God is saying to them. And we run with it. And God was just giving me prophetic word after prophetic word. It got bizarre. I'd be with a group of people, and every time I looked at somebody, I'd get a prophetic word for them. That would be a specific word. I haven't walked in that anointing for quite a while. And just bang, 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 bang. So it was good fun. But this lady in Concordia, she had... is it okay to tell mostly stories this morning? The preacher's really short, so I need loads of padding. She came forward asking for prayer because her back hurt. And so you think, okay, we can go for that. Now, you lot that know me know that people's backs being healing, I always find hilarious in a way, because you know that I've struggled with the back for I don't know how long, ever since an accident belly boarding, surfing. You know, and so those are always the funny ones when they get healed. You're sort of there trying to... Mind you, it's been great since I was in Italy, so... Anyway, this lady comes forward and you think, yeah, okay, that's all right. And then she says, the reason my back is so painful is because I've had cancer. And you're thinking, okay, this is maybe bigger than I thought. And she said, and I was never quite sure whether the cancer or the surgeon had taken the bone away. But what was certain was that she'd got a load of bone missing, and this meant that she couldn't really sit down very easily because she was in a lot of pain. And so anyway, take her hand and say, right, you should be feeling some heat right now. And she says, yes, I can feel that happening. And so, well, that's the healing coming upon you. And you see a big smile on her face and you think, oh, she's just clicked in. She's just starting to believe. You know, that's where manifestations can be great. We must never seek manifestations. We only ever seek Jesus. We only ever live by the word. You don't need any manifestations whatsoever for stuff to happen. But when they do happen, let's just praise God, because it's often they're often signs that something's happening. And heat and stuff like that is a very common manifestation of the healing beginning. And so this lady was really happy. And then after a little while, she said, I'm feeling it's gone a little bit. And we did a lot of... This is why the healing took so long, a long time in Italy, because we wouldn't give up. You know, when they said, yeah, it's feeling a little bit better, I would say to them, well, do you want to go on or do you want to leave it there? Because there's no point going further than they're ready for. I think everybody said, let's go on. I'd obviously taught on this. After we'd been standing there releasing the healing anointing over, she said, oh, it's just a little tiny pain now. And I said to her, well, do you want to do some more? And she said to me, remember this is all being translated, she said to me, no, you don't understand. She said, this is amazing. She said, I was in intense pain and there's only a little pain left. And so that was brilliant. We're all praising God. But then I said to her, but do you want to go for 100%? And she says, okay, yeah. So we stand and we wait and we release healing over her. I kept telling the Italians, like I keep saying here, let's stop praying for the sick. Let's just heal them. It sometimes makes it difficult to talk about what you're doing, because obviously prayer is involved. But we've made praying for the sick into a kind of hopeful religion. You know, we sort of kind of hope that God will do something. And God's always doing something. It's just us that does the releasing. He said to us, you look at all the times in the gospel, Jesus says, heal the sick, heal the sick, heal the sick, heal the sick. He never says, go and pray for them. He says, heal them. Therapeuo is the Greek word he used, which means to minister to them. Anyway, so we're ministering to her. We're therapeuing. Pewing. And then suddenly she just looks really, really happy. And she says, it's all gone. And you can hear the astonishment, even in Italian. You can hear the astonishment in her voice. Just the huge smile on her face. And her testimony was, and this is what she was saying, she said, I felt the bone regrowing in my back. And what was certain was she was sitting down on all hard surfaces, because she said, I've got the bone to sit on again now. So that was a creative miracle. That was bone instantly regrowing. Although it felt very normal and very ordinary, and God just doing it. So that was exciting. Do you want more? Because there was a lot, but these are the ones I can remember. There was a little boy, 8 or 9 years old. He was brought forward with his sister. And he got very severe dyslexia, and it affected his numeracy and money work as well, and numbers work as well. So I said, well, that's easy. he can be healed right now. And I said to the little boy, do you want to be healed? And he said, yeah, I want to be healed. I said, do you believe Jesus can do this now? And he said, yes. So he said, great, there's faith in this place. So I took his hand, I said, there you go, you're healed now. And that was it. And his parents said, well, we need you to pray. And I said, no, he's healed. And so they said, well, shouldn't you do something more? And I said, well, why don't you get a book and let's have him read the book. And he didn't like reading in public, they told me. I said, well, let's just do what we think should be done. But anyway, they said there was no books around that were easy enough for him to read. So I said, well, go and get an adult Bible in Italian. Didn't go for in English. That might be just instant translation abilities as well. Said, go and get an adult Bible in Italian. And they did it, but they were somewhat reluctant because they thought it would really embarrass him. And I'm thinking, this better be God. And so they get this adult Bible, and I said, well, turn to the book of John. And this boy that's not confident at reading out, I got a microphone for him to read out in front of 300 people. Or 200 maybe, 200 to 300. And I say to him, okay, if you read from there. And he just read. I'm told it was perfectly good, because obviously I couldn't tell. It sounded great to me. But what he did, he read very, very confidently. There was no hesitation. There was no stuttering. And I said to them, the maths problems are dealt with as well. And by this time, they believed it. Then I prayed for his sister. We didn't try her out. She was younger. Test her out. But I know she was healed as well. So that was a really cool one, wasn't it? I love that. God did that once at Go Generation in a similar way, although this young man was younger. That was cool. That was really good. Most of the time it was very, very quiet ministry, just taking people's hands and saying, this is dealt with. How do you feel now? Anything happening? That kind of thing. And then I came up to a lady who was very immaculately, very nicely dressed, and the Lord whispered in my ear, you know, as you do in your mind, not actual words, this is to do with demonic. You need to get rid of the demonic. I'm thinking, oh, what Pastor Giorgio feel about that? He tells me later that God told him the same thing, so it was fine. So I'm looking at her thinking, what shall I do? And you do one of those spontaneous things that you don't think about that much. And I remember it's been very calm. It's a stone floor. At this point, they still haven't got catchers because they said that not many of theirs. They don't really do the going over in the spirit thing. They do now. But so there's no catchers, no nothing. She's probably in her late 50s, stone floor. So I'm standing in front of her. I know it's something to do with the demonic. I'm not saying she was possessed, but there was something of the demonic on her. And so I looked her in the eyes and said, out! Like that, clapped my hands. And she went smack on the floor. And she just lay there shaking and twirling and just there, I don't know how long for, half an hour, something like that. I saw her later and the people that knew her said she was completely different. Because it doesn't take much. There's a couple of other demonic things, but God dealt with them as well. One demon we took by a lady taking a cardigan off her shoulders. Isn't that amazing? It's good to be listening to what God's saying. And you either sort of think, well, I'll go with what I think and trust that it's God because this they did and then Jesus. Or I try and be religious and pray normally. And this lady, and she was dressed in a beautiful red dress. Italians tend to dress well, particularly the ladies. And she was beautifully dressed. But she had this black cardigan around her shoulder. And God said, you'll remove, and she was telling all this stuff. She had an ex-husband who she'd recently split up with, who was a wizard and heavily into the occult and all kinds of stuff going on there. And so I'm thinking, what do you want to do, God? And he said, tell her to take her cardigan off. It will remove the demonic anointing, the demonic oppression that's over her. And I think, well, that's a little weird, but okay. So I tell her this. And it turns out she doesn't want to because she likes this cardigan. And I said to her, well, that's why you're not dealing with this demonic thing. You actually quite like the benefits that it's brought. This is what the Holy Spirit. You like the benefits that it's brought into your life, but you need to reject all of it and trust that Jesus will sort out your business and the shop that you're running and all kinds of other stuff that he's given to me. All turns out it is right. And so I said, so all you need to do is remove this black cardigan. And so it's just around her shoulders. Goodness knows why. Hot enough. So anyway, she agrees she's going to take it off. And she just removes this cardigan. And in the spirit, I just see the demonic come straight off her. And her face goes from pale and shallow. It sort of almost, well, almost it did. It fills out and looks healthy right in front of me there and then. And she goes from looking really down to just looking really, oh, happy. And again, I saw her in days after, and she was a different lady. So that was exciting. Do you want another creative miracle? I told you there'd be a lot of stories and not much preaching, but it's good to hear these stories because next week you're bringing people here to see them healed. And we've got to start realizing we're bringing people here to see them healed. Because by your faith, they will be. By their faith, they will be because they're believing you, saying, this is a place of healing. I mean, you can heal them in the streets as well, but we can use everything, you know? Sometimes bringing people here is what they need because they're responding to what you're saying. You know, so we don't have to get sort of, sometimes people get a little bit worked up over whether I should pray for them there and then or whether I should bring them to church or whatever, or all amongst these things. Both are correct. Just try and do what the Holy Spirit says. And how do you know what the Holy Spirit says? You'll just know. You'll just think it. And usually you'll be a bit terrified of doing it. If you're anything like me. Anyway, one more then. A lady who, she'd come up, I think it was Saturday night, and I found out about the fullness on Monday night. But anyway, she came forward, and it was a simple request. She wanted to be pregnant. She wanted to have a child. And I remember doing it, because it was one that sometimes I spent quite a long time with people. Now, I won't take any ladies' hands. It might scare them. I can't back away. So, and I just took the lady's hand and just said, you've got what you came forward for. And that was about it. There might have been a couple of other bits, but it really was just that. When she came to see me again, it must have been overnight, actually, thinking about it. So it must have been Sunday to Monday, because it was definitely Monday in Concordia that she came to see me. Concordia is where they had the terrible earthquake. Quirks two years ago, it's quite horrendous to see the town. It's all, loads of it's just destroyed. Beautiful Italian arches and streets, all ruined. They told me that there were 64 Catholic churches in the area, of which 62 fell down completely. I'm not making any further comment. And certainly in Concordia, they'd been expecting around 20 people to come out to this meeting, and they'd even got me out on the streets. You know, give me 2,000 people to preach to. Send me out on the streets talking to individuals. This is like, oh, this is not my comfort zone. But at least it was in Italian, so you had to go through a translator. Except that just about everybody I spoke to seemed to be able to speak English. That's typical, isn't it? They were expected about 20 to turn up in Concordia, and about 60 turned up that night. And I think 10 got healed and saved, and then about another 20 got healed as well. But this is when this lady told me the story in that meeting. And the people, they're just life team leaders. They got a church there now, but they're just life team leaders, and they were just doing a simple outreach at the town hall. And all these will turn up, many of whom we've met when we were walking around the streets. And they're all just living in temporary homes. They look like, it reminded me of World War II prefabs, but smaller, that the government's put up for them, because they've lost everything. But now they're discovering Jesus. And this lady said to me that I prayed for to be pregnant. She said to me, last night I had my period. And I said, oh, that, you know, well, I don't know what I said, actually. I can't remember. It's not a thing that ladies normally walk up to me and tell me about. Maybe when I was a primary school teacher, when you're surrounded by women, I knew more about hysterectomies than any man on the planet. Ladies, if you want to know. So she tells me this. And she said, no, you don't understand. I was the lady you prayed for. I wanted to be pregnant. And I said, oh, you know, still not understanding. And then she told me more. She said, the reason I asked you to pray wasn't just that I wanted a child, but because of something that's wrong with me, I didn't have, I suppose, the necessary equipment. I can't get pregnant because I don't have the facilities to get pregnant. She said, I haven't had them since the operation over a year ago. So I don't have periods because I can't. It's not there. But last night, I had one. Ooh. So I told her to go home and get on with the practical work. This they did, and then. Oh, that's some good stories, eh? All right, I've got about 10 minutes to preach to you now. Are you ready? Mashed potato, Jesus, Stacey Kent. Stacey Kent was coming to the Stephen Joseph to put on a performance. All right? She'd already been told by the theatre that the A64 was blocked because of mashed potato. I just love that. That's so unusual. And so they'd taken a different route because Stacey was being paid to be here. She had her reputation on the line, so she needed to be here. And it was fairly easy. They just needed to take a different route and they could be here. You know? But she wanted to be in Scarborough to do what she needed to do. There was an attitude of determination. They could have, I suppose, because they were tired, they were exhausted, they'd come from Switzerland, and before that they had just been in America, so they were still suffering from American jet lag, and they'd been to Switzerland and then they were in Scarborough. But they're determined, because she's a professional and she wants to do her best and put on a performance, they were determined to be in Scarborough because that's what she believed in. She believes in her music. There was a determination. And you've got to imagine how many of you have been to York? I should imagine that's just about every single person in this room, isn't it? Yeah? You've been to York. Now imagine if I told you that if you go to York this evening, which you're not, because most of you are going to the spa, but let's say the York Minster. If you go to the York Minster, they're handing out gifts of £500,000 to everybody who gets there by 7 o'clock. Okay? Who would go? Really, just that few. 500,000 for nothing. You've just got to go to York. Oh, come on, we would go, wouldn't we? If you wouldn't, you're too super spiritual to stop it. And if you don't want 500,000, when you inherit it tomorrow, bring it to the church. Or me. Okay, so you'd go. And if there was mashed potato on the road to York, the A64, which is the same road, but obviously Scarborough's more important. But if there was mashed potato on the road, you'd find a way around, especially if there was £500,000 at the other end. Yeah, and if there was more problems than mashed potato, if all the roads were blocked by mashed potato, if there was £500,000 that you could get, if you could get there by a certain time, you'd be finding out other ways to get there. You might even risk the Trans-Pennine Express, you know? But you would get there. You would be determined because the reward was good. Yeah? And at the story I'm reading you about Jesus, despite the heat and the dust, and the fact that his disciples are around him are saying, let's call down fire from heaven and destroy this village. You know, despite the fact that he's got aroma de humain all around him, it says that he is determined to head for his goal, which is heaven. All right, but we have the same goal, and it's worth a lot more than £500,000. We have the entire treasuries of heaven at our disposal. We looked the other week, didn't we, in Chronicles about how the priests were given the keys to the treasuries of heaven. And then how Jesus said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So we have the keys to unlock the treasury of heaven. And it's no good getting all the mashups and all the stuff, even the mashed potato on the 864, getting in the way of us taking hold of the treasure that is in heaven. We've got to have the attitude of Jesus, which is in chapter 9, verse 51. Jesus now set out for Jerusalem with a determined attitude, for the time was approaching for him to return to heaven. The time is approaching that he's going to come back from heaven. And we are here right now to take heaven to our communities, to our families, to our friends, all around us. And we've got to stop letting mashed potato get in the way. You know, there's so much stuff that will come across our way that stops us trying to grab hold. We can fall out with our wives, we can fall out with our husbands, we can have arguments amongst friends, we can have arguments in the family of God. There'll be insults, there'll be people getting upset about different things, but it's all just mashed potato compared to what we've got ahead of us. Jesus now set out for Jerusalem with a determined attitude. Who's coming? I am determined to take hold of everything of heaven that we have been promised. We've got the keys to the treasuries. Let's unlock the healings. Let's unlock the miracles. Let's unlock the salvations. Hallelujah. I'm not a brilliant salvation preacher, but 10 people still got saved out of a congregation of 60 on Monday night anyway, because this they did and then. And they said, we want to do a mission night. And I'm thinking, you didn't tell me about that one. And we want you to do a mission night in a town that's been devastated by an earthquake. My experience of earthquakes? Nothing. Right? Yeah, the only one that's ever been in this country, I slept through. In an area that I was in, but obviously it was much worse, the one in Concordia. A determined, it means steadfastly, it means resolutely. So if Jesus was heading for Jerusalem with disciples around him that are saying, call down fire, destroy them. And he says, no, guys, just shake the dust off your feet. Let's go on. He's saying, leave behind the judgmental attitudes. Leave behind those that won't go with you and go forwards with me because we're heading for heaven. He was heading for heaven through Jerusalem, which meant he knew that the route he was taking was full of sacrifice and pain. Oh, yeah. So are you ready for that too? Come on, let's have a yes, I'm ready. I'm determined, whatever gets in the way, I'm not stopping it from allowing me to push through to heaven. Or allowing us to push through together, because we are together in this. Yeah? You with me in this one? Because Jerusalem for Jesus, what was going to happen in Jerusalem? There was going to be, having been through in this situation, them calling down fire, right at the beginning of his time in Jerusalem, just before the crucifixion, he's got massive disagreement amongst his followers because they're all arguing about who's the greatest. He's got hours left with them and they're arguing about who is the greatest, the antithesis of his message, because he's the greatest, but they're arguing about it. And in the midst of that, he's got this disagreement. He's going to face deception or betrayal from Judas. With just hours to go, he's got disagreement, he's got deception. With hours to go, he knows that what's coming up, because he tells them that all his closest followers are going to desert him. He will be left alone, deserted. So he's facing disagreement, he's facing deception, and he's facing desertion. He's also got to face the denial of who he is by one of his closest friends. Peter's one of his closest friends that he's got here, and he knows what's coming. He even tells him it's going to be happening, and his friend there is before him saying, there's no way I'm going to deny you. And just a few hours later, to a servant girl, he's saying, I don't even know the man. Through fear. So Jesus, when he's facing Jerusalem, he knows that he is facing deception, disagreement, desertion, and denial. But he sets out determinedly. And in the midst of that deception, desertion, denial, and disagreement, what does he do? He determinedly develops a totally new promise of favor. He initiates a new covenant. He says, in the midst of all this, denial, desertion, disagreement, let's get closer. Let's get closer to one another. You're thinking, Jesus, you know what's going on. You know these guys are going to betray you. You know these guys are going to desert. And you're saying, let's get closer? How on earth or how in heaven can you do that? And Jesus would say, because I don't allow the behaviour of others to determine how I feel or how I will trust. And church, we've got to grow up and not let everybody else rule our lives. You know, sometimes just something like someone cutting us up in traffic can get us angry and furious and affect the way we relate to someone when we got home. We don't even know who that driver was. Why are we taking what they did back home into our family and ruining our peace? We must stop allowing others to rule over our emotions. And when others, when there's deception and disagreement and denial, we must say, I choose not to allow that to affect how I feel, because my feelings are based on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord of heaven and earth. And I will not allow what others do to affect whether I will trust. Because otherwise, none of us would have been able to serve Jesus in the first place, because we've all let him down at some point. And yet, he still chooses to trust us. If he was sensible, he'd have thrown us out long ago. But he's eminently more superior to sensible, because he is in control of whom he will trust. Not, he doesn't allow the behaviour of others to determine who he will trust, and he doesn't allow the behaviour of others to affect how he feels about them. He chooses to love us, regardless. So when it says that Jesus set out for Jerusalem, he's not just setting out for all the glory, he's setting out for deception, desertion, disagreement and denial, and he's still determined to go through all that to get to heaven. And that same Christ is in us. Because there's no way we could face that and get through all that without him being in us. But the truth is that Christ is in us and we are in Christ. So all of that stuff, and at times it may knock us off, at times it may make us tired, at times it may make us want to lie down and just be in the dark and shut out the world. But there must be something within us that rises up and says, no, I will not allow other people, especially those who are doing that, to control me or my life or my emotions. I'm going forward with my Lord because I am bound for Jerusalem. I am bound for heaven. I am bound for greater glory. I have a purpose. I have a destiny. And I'm walking in it today. Amen. Amen. That is us. I had a good time in Italy. No, I was running this well before. Oh. So, here we go with the alliteration again. When you're facing deception, desertion, denial, or disagreement, what do? You go deeper with a determination. How about that for alliteration? That is so totally overdone. No, we go deeper into an intimacy with our Lord because we are determined that we are opening the treasuries of heaven. And I will tell you, church, this 2014, as we said at the beginning of the year, is a fundamentally important year for this church. We have faced so much stuff coming in, here and out. People being excited, people being depressed. People being, I want to do this, I want to go for this. And people saying, I don't want anything to do with it anymore. We have faced the fullness of what I've just said in all those D's. And we have to make a decision. Do I allow that to take me away from how God has called me, or will I go on? Am I determined, like Jesus was, to go through the Jerusalem, through the cross, which means death and surrender, through to the victory of the resurrection? You ready? To go through to the resurrection, through to the ascension, because not only are we saying no more to death and destruction and life and disease and sickness, which is dealt with at the cross, not only do we have the power of the resurrection, but then we join with Jesus in the ascension to be sat in heavenly places, because it's up there we're going to unlock the treasuries. But we're not even stuck in ascension, because Jesus looked forward to Jerusalem, and the next event after the ascension was Pentecost, which was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. This is why he could go through the desertion and the denial, because he could see that on the other side was resurrection, on the other side was ascension, on the other side was Pentecost, the pouring out of the Spirit, which would cause people to go out and be witnesses in the whole earth. He could see that this was the outpouring of the Spirit, and we're living in the times of the outpouring of the Spirit. This is a significant time for this church. Why do you think I can stand here and tell you amazing stories of miracles that we only used to think happened somewhere else? And they're happening amongst us because this is the day of the Lord's favour. This is the time of it. And we're, amazingly, we're part of it. Us bunch of Scarborians happen to be part of this. Woo! I'm sure God's doing stuff all over the other place, but let's just be concerned about what he's doing here. All right? And Zambia. Because if we're concerned about what God's doing here, we will be going out all over the place.
Yes, that's right.
Because God will take what he's doing here and share it. Wow, 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 wow. But it doesn't stop at Pentecost. Because the next event in Jerusalem, do you know what it is? It's the return of Jesus. He is coming back. And I don't think it's going to be long. The days are urgent. We need to wise up and do what we need to do. We don't want to miss the opportunity of 2014. This is a fundamental year. From this year, if we get through the difficult stuff, and it's not like it's all difficult, we're having good times too, aren't we? We're having fantastic times. We've got brilliant coffee. Of course we're having fantastic times. Most of the stuff we're doing is flourishing. You know, the little builders and the cavern club and the synergy, all these things. Some are just beginning to develop a little bit and some have gone bang immediately. But favour is on all of them. Because this is the day, this is the hour. And we'll go through the Jerusalem. For the resurrection, the ascension, the Pentecost, and the return of our Lord. Because it's not long. I don't think. Do you? We don't know the day, we don't know the time, and God soon can be thousands of years. Or it can be tomorrow. What I do know is he's coming back soon. And that's what we've got to carry with us. There's no time to get delayed by mashed potato. Let's set out. Let's be determined. Let's walk with our Lord. Because he's coming back. Amen? Amen. That's something to go with. Got to have mashed potato in the title now, haven't we, Richard, on the online one? Hallelujah. Let's stand, shall we? Just to finish. There, really, after all those stories, I really did just speak a message in 20 minutes. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for that timely reminder this morning that we are determined. And Father, we stand in the gap now for anybody from our congregation or loosely attached to this congregation who has, through circumstances, lost that determination to pursue heaven together. Father, we lift them up to you and pray that they would be turned around from where they are and would come and be part of the team. Father, they wouldn't allow things that have come in, the mashed potato, to distract them from pursuing the road to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, for us, we pray. We are determined ourselves right now to allow nothing to get in the way. Not even the good stuff. Because mashed potato is quite nice. Not even the good stuff that might get in the way of the purpose, which is to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, which is to live knowing that you said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right with us. And that kingdom is the rule and the reign of Jesus, which means salvation, which means healing, which means miracles, which means restoration, which means freedom, which means lives so much better than they were before because of the power of God in them. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Even as we stand here right now, Father, we pray you'd confirm by laying hands on each one of us that anointing that comes from being determined. Thank you, Jesus. We acknowledge there's going to be stuff, even in the next 6 months of this year, which would seek to take us off this highway of holiness which leads to heaven. But Father, by your grace and in your mercy, we are determined to continue that walk together, that Jesus would be famous in Scarborough, famous in the borough of Scarborough, famous in Yorkshire, famous in Bridlington and Whitby and York and Rotherham and the towns and villages and cities that we represent here this morning. Because that is our purpose, to be filled with the Spirit, to be your witnesses here on this planet, that Jesus would be made known. Thank you, Father. Father, we stand in the gap for next Sunday. Father, we pray that we'd have opportunities this week to invite friends and family and colleagues and just even people we don't yet know. Say, do you want to come along to our church? We're having a special service because it's been our springtide week. It's a miracle service. It's a healing service. And God will minister to you. And Father, we pray for people to come. And we pray for people to be saved. And we pray for people to be healed. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never said, yes, I want to be a follower of him, you've pondered about it, you've thought about it, you've investigated it maybe, or maybe today even is your first time, but you know, yeah, I want that. I want to be on that road. I want to be determined like this lot. Then before you leave today, come and have a chat with me, and I'll tell you how to take this next step of becoming a Christian. Or have a chat if you came with somebody and say, how do I do it then? It's very easy, but it will cost you everything, but you will gain everything. Hallelujah. You will gain life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Similarly, if you've come seeking healing, then before you go, we will stand with you to see God move in you, to see you healed. Because we're not having any of this anymore. We are determined to take hold of everything. And when I prayed for those Italians, often it was in stages. And in the big picture, sometimes it's in stages. But we're not giving up. We want to see the people out of wheelchairs. We want to see the people with Alzheimer's completely restored to a right mind. We want to see the, all kinds of people with mental health issues completely restored to a right mind. And all kinds of sicknesses and diseases, they don't have a place. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.